all the beer. Everybody sing.
In heaven there ain't no beer. That's why we drink it here. Ooh. And when we're gone from here, the band will be drinking all the beer.
What's up, kids? How's everybody doing? This is James Govan. Today is Tuesday. It is the 22nd of February. This is your audio-ish of the week. I hope you're all doing well. Thanks for tuning in. There's an answer to the age-old question. Why do we drink beer? Well, in heaven, there is none, so we drink it here. And for those of you guys who like to drink beer, hopefully you drank enough on Sunday that No Way Out did not come off like the, what's a nice way to put it, piece of shit that it was. One of the worst pay-per-views I've had the misfortune of having to sit through. And really, and the sad thing is there isn't even too much to talk about as it relates to No Way Out, because the next night was Raw, and it kind of undid anything that came out of the pay-per-view that would be newsworthy. For those of you guys who missed it, you're lucky. Rey Mysterio Jr. And Eddie Guerrero captured the tag titles in the opening match from the Basham Brothers. It was an okay match, no different than anything you could probably catch on SmackDown. The same thing can be said, I don't want to say for Kurt Angle and John Cena, because the two of them did have a fairly good match. But for the most part, the show felt like a SmackDown. For those of you guys who watch SmackDown on a regular basis, you know that that's not a good sign. If anything, a pay-per-view should always have a different feel than the free television show. If anything, the pay-per-view should have a feel of an event that had to take place. It had to be here, and it had to go down. Otherwise, it really just comes off like you're trying to grab money from the fans without giving them a good product. And that's what WWE did on Sunday. They just put forth the most half-assed, half-hearted effort I've seen in a long time on pay-per-view. I mean, and that, I don't want to say that includes Armageddon, because Armageddon was terrible too. But SmackDown has had this long-running streak of just crappy, crappy pay-per-views one after the other. And last night, I think, was, Sunday night was a bad sign for them. For starters, you have to figure, WWE is trying to sell you WrestleMania next month. WrestleMania is their big show. I mean, it's the granddaddy of them all, ever since they stole that from Starrcade. That's been the WrestleMania mantra. It's the granddaddy of them all. It's their biggest event of the year. The Royal Rumble is all about WrestleMania. These 3 months are the road to WrestleMania. So what does WWE do? Well, rather than doing the route that many salesmen use when they're trying to get you to buy a big product. And I did sales for years, and I'll tell you guys this. If you have a huge product that you are hyping to death, well, prior to selling people that product, you want to butter up your audience. You want to maybe give them some freebies. You say, look, if you buy this, this copy machine, I'll give you all this toner for free, you know, the month before. I'll give you some paper, you know, beforehand for free. That's what you're supposed to do when you want to sell a big product, the focal point of your arsenal, of all the things that you have to sell. You're supposed to give away things, kind of generate a feeling of trust between you and your marks, your clients, whatever you want to refer to them as. WWE didn't do that. It would have been very easy for them in February to say, you know what, no pay-per-view this month. Let's do this. Let's have a free primetime special. We'll put it on UPN. Chances are it could suck. We really don't have that much to offer from the SmackDown brand. We have maybe a JBL Big Show feud that has been going on forever. We have Angle and John Cena. We have some crappy matches. But you know what we'll do? We'll put that on UPN for free. We'll give it a pay-per-view feel. People will watch it. They'll get excited. And we'll make it almost like those old Road to WrestleMania specials that they used to put on the USA Network, for those of you guys who remember that, Yokozuna against Bret Hart and all that kind of stuff. Give the fans a free show. Say, look, we're not going to take money from you this month. If anything, save your money. We want that next month when you order WrestleMania. Instead, WWE doesn't do that because, God forbid, they miss 1 month of trying to really just mug you for that $35. And what they do is they take fans who really aren't so disenchanted by WrestleMania, because WrestleMania looks good. And WrestleMania will always look good. And I definitely think that this year's WrestleMania is going to be worth the money. They have enough on the table that they can put together and deliver a nice show. So I don't think it's going to be a waste. However, to give the fans a wasted pay-per-view the month prior to that, what's the rationale behind that? You know you have a good product coming in March that you want people to buy. So what do? You show them a crappy product that you charged them for the month before. If anything, fans who shouldn't have been gun-shy will most likely be gun-shy now if they ordered No Way Out thinking it was going to be good and got what they were given. And I don't want to sit here and just keep saying it wasn't good, it wasn't good, it wasn't good, without giving you guys reasons. Some of the reasons include this. For those of you, myself included, that always bitched about these new wannabe divas, these new ring rat patrol that they have running through SmackDown and Raw. We've bitched about Christy Hemme. We've bitched about Joy Giovanni. We've bitched about the other one, Candice Michelle, on Raw, and all these women who really don't have characters. Well, WWE did you one better on Sunday. Out of nowhere, we seem to have a million of these women. I'm talking women I've never even heard of. Rochelle something. I don't even know. I mean, I was watching the thing, and I was like, all right, Joy Giovanni, great, another nameless diva, ha, ha. And then they bring out the rest of them. I'm like, who the hell is this? And here's the scary thing, folks. I write for the Torch, and I barely know who these women are. Does WWE really think that there's women, that there's fans sitting at home saying, Rochelle, I'm the biggest Rochelle fan there is. Michelle McCool, I guess is her name, or Melissa McCool, Michelle McCool, something like that. I'm a huge fan of hers, obviously not. And you know why? This isn't really a slight on the women, although you could take it any way you want. They really don't have talent. They're not here for a particular reason. It's not like any of them can come off like, you know, doing planches through the ring. WWE has given them no characters. And they put them all in the ring on Sunday, these women with no characters, no gimmick, and they had them do almost a fashion show type of thing, a pageant, where they show their talents and things of that sort. Horrible. There was one girl, I don't even know, I think it was massage woman, somebody else, I don't know, that told a joke about a boogie in a Kleenex, and the audience just sits there and just stares at them. Now, you got to figure, folks, I complain when they put these clothed women on TV, on free TV, for no other reason to stare at them because they have implants. I mean, they're clothed, they're on UPN, and I always say, you know, someone could just turn the channel and put on Cinemax and probably see half of these women naked anyway because most of them have done this softcore porn crap. So what's the point of watching them on UPN when they have clothes on? It really doesn't do much for me. WWE charged people $30-something dollars to watch these women in clothes tell jokes about Kleenex and do some sort of rubdown on Tori Wilson. It's almost insulting. It's insulting to the people in the crowd. It's insulting to the people who watch at home. But I think the most insulting part of the night was right before the initial diva segment. Michael Cole showed a clip from the Hall of Fame inductions that are coming up, you know, that kind of promo that they have for the new Hall of Fame. And he, you know, does his usual, hey, partner, you know, the day before WrestleMania, we're going to have the Iron Sheik inducted into the Hall of Fame, 2005 class, you know, Hall of Fame. And you think, wow, you know, that's really cool. Iron Sheik, God bless him, the guy's former world champion. Taz responds that it's off the chain or whatever new phrase he's trying to make work this week. It's off the chain, but not as off the chain as what we have in the ring. There's divas. And Michael Cole goes, divas. They immediately switch gears from honoring a former world champion who is being inducted into their company's Hall of Fame, which is supposed to be the highest honor you can receive as a professional wrestler with WWE, and they're comparing it to and saying it's on the same level as these women with no gimmicks, no wrestling training, in the ring getting ready to tell us jokes. That, to WWE, is as important as the Iron Sheik being inducted into the Hall of Fame. So to me, I mean, it's all about what you train your audience to think. Do you want your audience to respect the wrestlers? If you do, then have your announcers respect the wrestlers. Do you want your audience to like the wrestling matches? Then have your announcers respect the wrestling matches. Don't have the divas come out like they did a week or two ago during a cruiserweight match and hold up signs, vote for me for the diva search. Have your fans respect the wrestling matches, which encompass most of your programming. No matter what, you can have a wrestling show with absolutely no backstage segments and no divas. You could still run a wrestling show without that. You cannot run a wrestling show without wrestling matches. You cannot run a wrestling show without wrestlers. You need those two things. So if you know that every show you're ever going to have wrestlers and wrestling matches, teach your audience to respect the wrestlers and the wrestling matches, and you'll always have them they'll be into your show, in essence. Does this make sense to anybody, what I'm saying here? You know every week SmackDown has to have wrestling on it. You know that it has to have wrestlers on it. At least have your audience respect that. At least if you know going into it that every week there's going to be a good amount of time on that broadcast dedicated to the wrestlers and their performances, make the fans respect the wrestlers and their performances. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And another problem that does arise with this is WWE is always very keen on saying, well, fans just, you know, they're not into wrestling. They don't like the wrestling. Only the internet geeks like the wrestling. Well, you know what? Maybe that has something to do with the fact that you've told them to not like the wrestling. You've made it almost almost taboo to say you like professional wrestling, because if you do, you're a geek. And if you're a geek, you know, why you even exist? You shouldn't even be here. But maybe if WWE actually put some focus on some, I'm not saying all, I'm not saying the whole show should be, a Ring of Honor pure wrestling fest. I'm saying if WWE picked one or two or three matches per show and really dedicated a good amount of respect to that and have the announcers respect it and really give reasons as to why moves are being done. I mean, that's something that isn't done anymore, especially on SmackDown. Back in the day where they would say, oh, he's cutting off that flow of oxygen to his brain and it's going to be wheezy on his leg. They don't do that anymore. If anything, Taz and Michael Cole laugh about yam bags and partner and John Cena thinks, Michael Cole is gay. Ha ha. That's the whole gist of why the announcers are there. But the announcers were never put there for that reason. The announcers are there, the commentators are there to give you insight into why the wrestlers are doing what they're doing in the ring. Granted, they're there to sell the storylines and to sell the matches that are coming up later in the night. But for the most part, the reason why you have voiceovers for those wrestling matches is to let the fans know why things are being done. It helps to build the illusion of what's going on in the ring. WWE has not utilized their announcers correctly. They have not utilized their wrestlers correctly. They have not put the focus on what should be focused on the show. And all those things put together have given you the program that we've gotten now, which is WWE SmackDown, which is a program based on gimmicks, based on women who don't wrestle, based on characters that come and go up and down, left and right. Rene Dupree one day, Kendo Suzuki another. They're both gone. They're here. They're there. WWE SmackDown has no direction. And the reason they have no direction is because rather than embrace what they truly are, which is a wrestling company, they have done nothing more than try to find a new identity. And that new identity has revolved around half-naked women who have no reason to be on the show and characters that really are just given to people who can't properly play them. That's just the way I see it, and I think No Way Out perfectly illustrated that. If you don't know what I'm saying, go take a look at the show, and you'll get the gist of it. Now, fast forward the next night to Monday Night Raw, which I liked. I liked last night's Raw, and I'll tell you why. Last night's Monday Night Raw is the type of show that years from now you're going to look back on, and you'll remember it. You'll remember it as the event that Dave Bautista finally left Evolution and attacked Triple H. You're not going to remember many of the other things, and that's a good thing because a lot of the rest of the show was kind of a throwaway. You had a great tag match right in the middle. You had Michaels teaming up with Randy Orton against the reunited Edge and Christian, which for some reason everybody seemed to think was their big reunion. Meanwhile, they teamed up, I think it was a month and a half ago, on Raw. The announcers obviously didn't want to mention that because afterwards Edge beat up Christian. So they kind of played it off like they haven't been together in years, which is insane because I know that Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler knew about it because they were there. I remember distinctly they were there for that match. So I don't know. Whatever. Maybe they were tripping. Who knows? So they didn't remember it. But that match was good. It was right in the middle of the show. And I think, in a way, it was almost like a classic Raw. You had one major angle, and you had one big match right in the middle to kind of tie the whole show together. So while Raw did flounder in certain aspects, I think the ending angle with Dave Bautista and Triple H was done well. And a lot of people don't agree with me on this, and I'll tell you why I thought it was a good angle. Dave Bautista and Hunter has been built up for weeks as far as teasing the animosity between the two of them, teasing the fact that Hunter really has it out for Dave and Dave doesn't know about it. And I've been one of the most vocal people about my problems with the logic holes within this angle. I don't like the fact that no one knew that it was Hunter who was setting up Dave Bautista for the big fall. Eric Bischoff couldn't figure it out. We found out last night that Ric Flair didn't even know about it. So that was always a problem for me. And, you know, a lot of other people, they've brought up other ways. You know, it doesn't always have to be a surprise in wrestling, and I understand that. I think some of the best wrestling angles are the ones that do surprise the audience. I think those are some of the best money-making angles. But c'est la vie. I mean, you know, things go on, and there's different types of angles in wrestling that can be successful. This is one of those. The problem that people had last night was that immediately prior to the contract signing by Bautista for his opponent at WrestleMania, he actually found out that Triple H had been setting him up. And how did he find out? Well, he was standing outside the doorway to Hunter's dressing room, and he overheard the game telling Ric Flair loudly how he set up Batista and how the whole thing was just so that he wouldn't have to fight him at Mania, and Ric Flair thought he was a genius and he loves him, and Ric Flair's all, you know, his face is bright red and, you know, all that stuff that he does. And Batista hurt him. A lot of people had a problem with this, and I can understand why, but I also understand why it was done. It was done largely because WWE does not respect its audience to follow a subtle storyline. Okay, let's just be obvious about that right now. Let's just really put it on the table. This is what I've been complaining about for weeks. I thought that WWE did not respect its audience enough to make Triple H's plan not transparent up until now. You guys know what I'm saying? Up until now, it's been obvious that JBL has not been the guy behind the limo attacks. It hasn't been JBL behind airing the footage on Raw. It was all Hunter, and we all knew that. And I thought that that was very blatant. And it was done so, I think, because WWE did not trust its fans to realize that it was Triple H behind it. So they made it kind of an obvious thing. All right, so we got that out of the way. Once you've gotten used to that fact, the rest of this angle follows itself out nicely. Because, again, WWE did not really, I don't say respect, but respected fans enough to take into account the fact that they would know that Dave Batista had figured out Hunter's plan without blatantly just telling fans right off the bat before the segment, look, Hunter was behind it and Dave Batista knows. It was WWE really just kind of covering its own bases, not really trusting the fans to kind of, you know, follow along with the storyline unless it was all mapped out for them. Is that insulting? Yeah, I guess it is insulting. But if you've been following the angle up until now, you shouldn't have been insulted. It just kind of follows the entire plan of how they've been going up until now. WWE feels that its fans have a hard time following things that are not laid out on the table for them. So last night, just like they've done with the rest of this storyline, they laid it on the table. And it's for that reason that I liked it. I wasn't expecting much from it. I didn't expect this big, surprising ending. I fully expected them to have Triple H do a confession prior to Batista making his choice. I mean, the whole way this thing has been laid out up until now almost dictates that has to happen. I mean, Hunter's plan was blatant. It was obvious. No one could figure it out. So prior to Batista stating it, we had to have Hunter himself state it. Otherwise, it kind of looked like Batista was just, I don't know, lying or guessing. So, yeah, so I got where it was coming from. Do I think that there's better ways that they could have done it last night? Yeah, I think there's a lot of better ways that they could have done it last night. I also think that there's better ways that they could have done this whole feud up until now. I'm just saying that last night wasn't surprising, because as far as I'm concerned, it just followed the flow of everything else they've been doing. I mean, there's no denying that the angle worked. Batista got a great reaction when he finally did turn on Triple H. They used the thumb thing again. We went thumbs down on him, kind of let him know, you know, now is your time to get your ass kicked. And he did just that. And I definitely think that Dave Batista, the way he carried himself last night, the way they've handled his turn up until now, just the whole thing about him, I think that he definitely has potential. Will he be the savior of Raw? And I'm not going to say that. And I'm not going to say that because I know how things work around here, and I know that it's hard for a new hero to step up, especially the way the, I won't say current political climate, but current political climate has played itself out on the broadcast. So I think Batista has the potential, and I think out of most of the guys that they can grab right now and put in there with Hunter, I think he's their best choice. They have enough of a backstory. They've done a good job building it up. And God willing, I mean, this will be a good match that they could put together for Mania and possibly create a huge new star out of it. I think they've already done a good job with that so far. That's just my opinion. All right. Now, it wasn't insane. I know a lot of people thought it was insane to see Triple H, you know, sitting in the room telling Ric Flair, you know, do you know how hard it is to put horns on a limo and make a horny limo? Like, all that stupid stuff. I get it. I know. It was kind of stupid. But it was not the moment of insanity. In fact, the moment of insanity was not a segment. The moment of insanity was not a pay-per-view. The moment of insanity beat all that stuff. The moment of insanity was an individual. And this individual is this week's MOI, voted by you guys, this week's Moment of Insanity.
Oh. Huh? Oh, my God.
He's gonna Saturday.
Hey, what happened?
That's all you want. I'm the one who's going to be on TV looking all buff.
You were wrong. I was right.
That's right, folks. This week's Moment of Insanity is a wrestler whose gimmick has all been done before. That's right. It is the narcissist, Billy Jack, Lex Masters, otherwise known as Masterpiece Chris Masters, making his debut on Monday Night Raw last night. That was voted this week's Moment of Insanity by you, the readers of The Torch. And you know what? Funny enough, I agree with you guys. I probably would have voted for that myself if I did vote for these. Last night saw the debut of one of WWE's newest muscle guys, one of their new all-natural wrestlers that are that's on the roster, Chris Masters. Chris Masters came out. His debut occurred when Ric Flair came out to get Dave Bautista from the limo. He came out and he said, "Hey, Rick, maybe you should watch my match or learn a thing or two." I don't know. Hopefully Flair did watch Chris Masters' match. He probably learned a thing or two. He must have learned how to suck after watching this contest because Chris Masters went to the ring and he had Lex Luger's old narcissist gimmick. For those of you guys who don't know the narcissist gimmick, maybe you weren't watching back then, you probably don't know what it is because it lasted like freaking 4 months. It went from January of 1994 until June. Of that year, July of that year, when he turned babyface. So this whole gimmick that WWE is redoing only lasted in its initial run for like 5 months, and then Lex Luger became the All-American. And you know why it lasted for 5 months? Well, probably because it sucked. So WWE decided to do it again. Why not give it to another muscle-bound guy? So he comes out. I swear to God, if I had a pin in my hand and I was in that arena, I would have thrown it on the ground during Chris Masters' match just to hear how loud of a sound it would have made over the silence of the crowd. Chris Masters got no reaction. His match was horrendous. He beat Steven Richards, who, I don't know, I think sometime back in like 2001, he walked into the catering hall at Titan Tower and urinated in Vince McMahon's breakfast cereal because I can't understand why he's always on this Jobber of the Week duty. So he got bloodied, actually, by big, strong Chris Masters, who, in the end, actually went and finished him off with a full Nelson. Yeah. So there you have it, Masterpiece Chris Masters, hailing, of course, from 1987 with his full Nelson finisher, defeating Steven Richards in his debut. And yeah, people were really impressed. So impressed they voted in the middle of Insanity. Sir John Falstaff says Insanity is repeating the same behavior and expecting different results. That's true, John. He says the Moment of Insanity is the Masterpiece Chris Masters. Let's go over this rare find. His entrance pop was nothing short of what the janitor gets. I think, you know, John, you don't really know the janitor. I think the janitor's kind of popular in that arena, so probably better than what Masters got. He says his wrestling skill puts him with the vaunted company of Snitsky and Tyson Tomko. His talent at hurting Steven Richards is nearly as frightening as Heidenreich's. His powerful chiseled legs rival Ric Flair's. And finally, his gimmick has never, ever worked before. That is a big statement, and it's true. I don't know if Chris Masters, especially with his skills, is going to be able to carry this gimmick that other people were never able to carry in the past, even though that maybe they had better skill, which is kind of funny when you can say Lex Luger had better skill than somebody. Jason, my vote definitely goes for Chris Masters. That was hilarious. I think I heard some crickets during that ring entrance, and the music seemed to get louder suddenly after the people in the back realized how little of a reaction he was getting. I love when people have the common sense to shit on shit. There you go. That's a good way to put it. Shitting on shit, folks. And yeah, I mean, that's what the crowd did. There was a lot of reasons to shit all over Chris Masters, and the crowd definitely found a way to do that. In fact, all in all, Chris Masters' debut last night was one of the few times where I started getting emails during Raw from readers to my inbox asking me what the hell the deal was with this new guy on the show. So there you have it, folks. For those of you guys who always used to come down on the total package, now you have a reason to appreciate him and the work that he did, because one thing about Chris Masters, He's no Lex Luger. All right. Folks, that is this week's Moment of Insanity. I will be back next week with a little more insanity for you guys, some more audio-ish. Until then, do me a favor. Check out Abe Lincoln's career. It's the focal point of the opening for last night's Raw Insanity. Until then, be well. Always speak your mind.